This is Orson Welles speaking. Down Washington way, the lawmakers want to go home. The blossoms are on the vine and the thick green leaves are on the trees. It's politicking time. These weekends, it's getting harder and harder to muster a quorum. Hot weather has settled down for a sticky season, and the halls of Congress aren't air-conditioned, but of course that's logical. How could you build an air-conditioning machine big enough to handle all that gas? In New York, the United Nations are working on a program for controlling atomic energy, and back in the Capitol, some members of the House are saying with a snicker and a sneer that the other nations won't be able to get together. But those doing the sneering are exactly those who are monkeying with the McMahon bill right now, trying to block its passage this session. Andy May from Kentucky, who heads the House Military Affairs Committee, won't give the bill priority. And Mr. May, you'll remember, is also the author of the May-Johnson bill, that extraordinary piece of legislation that would put atomic energy in the hands of the military. To his great credit, Mr. Truman fought hard against this, but the military isn't going to give up without a hard fight of its own. If the McMahon bill is knifed, all the work of the all-important Atomic Commission here in New York will be blown to atoms. Well, today I thought I'd talk about Mr. Baruch and the atom bomb, but after some thought I find I haven't anything this early worth network time and your attention, except maybe the gimmick where Mr. Baruch breaks with the Lilienthal report on the vital issue of private ownership. But I would like a week of thinking before sounding off on this, and it's more than possible that a week of thinking will only produce sounder reasons for not sounding off at all. In your letters for a long time now, lots of you have been asking for another broadcast based on Bible reading. No one Sunday is better than another for complying with that request, but we've picked today for it, and because it's one of the most movingly beautiful passages in all the Bible, and because conversation of late has taken us all too often into speculations about the ending of the world, here are the first chapters of Genesis, a deathless account of the world's beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And he took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither should ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked,
And I hid myself.
And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?
And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done?
And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've been reading to you from the first chapters of Genesis, and I'm stopping now because the time allotted for these broadcasts is almost all used up. And so the book is closed almost where it was opened, at the beginning. Beyond Genesis are volumes and volumes of wisdom and vision and high event. Perhaps the Bible itself isn't finished. Not only the reading of it, but the writing of it too. You know, I'm reminded as it comes time to say goodbye for this week of what Chesterton wrote a few years before the age of the atom. There's one thing, he said. There's one thing none of us can ever know. We cannot know whether the world is old or young. This is Orson Welles wishing you well, remaining as always, obediently yours.
Orson Welles came to you from New York.